Matthew 6:24 on your sheet there. Let's start that. We've been talking about seeking first the kingdom of God, and so we're gonna pick up there. We've had a series going called "Seek First the Kingdom of God." Matthew 6:24 on your sheet. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man." You know that word right there. It says, "Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." When you see that word despise, so many times it means when you despise something, you don't esteem it. You don't hold it high. You're like, yeah, whatever. When somebody despises another individual, it's like they don't hold them in high esteem. They think, you're not worth my time. Now, what does it say in here? It says, you can't serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to one. Loyal means you go back to it. Means you're faithful to it. Means you're doing, you're supporting something, and you'll despise the other. You realize we're talking about God and money specifically, but you know we're really, you know, focusing on laying a foundation just for serving the Lord. You can't serve something else and God, because what you can just see this very clearly. Everybody on the earth is serving something, and so many of them are then despising the things of God. What do they do? They're holding it lightly. They don't esteem it. Like what we were saying in the time in the announcements. People don't honor the things of God. They don't honor the men and women of God. You try saying that in general society, there's a mocking that comes forth. Why? Because people don't even believe there is a Lord or God. So many people don't. They believe that it's just some man's creation. So when you would say somebody is speaking for the Lord or somebody that is a pastor or a minister, it is mocked because they think you're following some archaic sect or creation of man, and you think you're speaking for some God that doesn't exist. It is held very lightly, despised, mocked. Why? Because people have focused on other things. And the Bible clearly says you can't do that. You're going to serve somebody. Yeah. You will. And people think, a lot of people are serving what they think is themselves. The problem is there is no middle ground. Do you hear me? Yeah. People say, well, no, I'm just lukewarm. The Bible, the Lord himself said, don't be lukewarm. You either get in or get out. There is nothing this middle. And people, there really is no middle. You're either serving God or you're influenced by the devil. Now, I'm not saying you're possessed by the devil. You're not oppressed by the devil. But who would move people away from God? Devil. And he has all kinds of ways to do it, and it doesn't look like, you know, somebody in a suit with a pitchfork and red horns. There's a lot of things that people let take them away from God that look nothing like that. But they are distractions. There's so many distractions in this earth, it's just ridiculous now. I mean, you didn't even have any of this stuff so many years ago. It's just, it's not that the things are bad in and of themselves necessarily, but the distracting from God is bad. And so it's exactly, money's not bad. But if you start going to the pursuit of money and you let it distract you from God, that's bad. If you let anything get in the way of you living for and with and after God, that's bad. Because what does it say? You will despise one or the other. Are we reading the Bible? What does it say? Or else he will be loyal. The first part of it says, you can't serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other. You see that too, don't you? People hate God. Why? You have to ask yourself, why? The most loving being in the universe, why do people have this disdain and hate for God and the things of God? Ask yourself this. If he doesn't exist, why do people get so mad about it? They ought to be like, poor fool, you just don't know any better. It's not that way. It's an animosity that rises up and like, no, it's an irritation. Why? Why? Why are you mad at somebody that doesn't exist? Seriously. Why are you so angry? Because you've been helped to be that way. People have been helped down a road. And they thought it was God moving them down the road because they've been lied to. The devil is so wicked. He will do this. He's like a kid, you know, sitting down next to his fellow classmate. Come over here, Brianna. This is the wrong place to sit. I'm going to get a squeal. I'm going to sit here. Can you sit here, Andrew? Now, if I'm sitting here, you guys hear me? I'm in class. And I'm sitting here, and Andrew, look forward, act like you don't see me. And I go like this to Andrew, and I'm looking like that, and I look over him, and he looks at me, and I said, and point at Brianna. That's exactly what the devil does all the time. He knocks you in the head, and he goes, it's God. God does not love you. Why did that happen? God was not looking out for you. And then people get mad. And they think God left them. They think it was the Lord. And then they start down this track. Well, if God couldn't prevent that from happening, if God let that happen, and that's God's will, I don't want to have anything to do with them. In fact, I don't think there is a God. I was believing, and he didn't do anything. I've heard that so many times. Have you not heard? I prayed in that situation, and nothing happened. There is no God, or I don't want to have anything to do with them. Have you heard that? So it's God's problem. People, it's because the devil's going to say it was God. It couldn't have been anything in that person's life. They're going to attack God. Satan is going to say it's God. And so people go off, and they don't want to serve God, so they get over here, and they can hate the Lord. Hate the things of God. Despise the church. Have no honor whatsoever. Think there is nothing supernatural about it whatsoever. Think there is no God. This is just a bunch of fools that gather together and think they're having church, and it's all emotion, and it's all just them talking to each other. There's no God. That's dangerous, but that's where people get. Why? Because they've chosen, I'm going to serve this. I'm going to serve something else besides the Lord. The second part of that verse then says, else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. It's like we were saying, this is the Bible. This is what it says. It says, if you go after something else, you will start to despise other things. You will despise the Lord. Well, I'm just doing these things. I'm just doing it. It's okay. Well, it might not be sin, but it can make you will, if you let that start to determine where you're going instead of the Lord, you will start to despise the Lord. You won't hold it high, in high esteem. You won't count it precious. Amen? We don't want to go there. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I'm moving too fast. I should go back. It says, nor about, don't worry about your life, in verse 25, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Well, is it?
Yes.
Is the life more than food?
Yes.
What you're going to eat to keep you alive. And seriously, what are you keeping alive for? I mean, why?
God.
We're here. Why are we created? We're created to serve the living God. We're created to fellowship. Why? People are so concerned about staying alive. They'll go to any length when they're old and they're about to die to try to keep that body living. Why? Because if you're going to die and it's time for you to go, if you're a Christian, you're going to be with Him. Why are you holding on so hard for this? Why is it so important? Is it not more than food, the next bite? Because, you know, without food, you are going to die. Right? Without water, you will die. But isn't it more than that? Isn't the body more than clothing? Yeah, you need clothing. You need to be covered up. Thank God we're all covered up this morning in here. Amen? But is not the body more than that? The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But you ask a lot of people, they're not concerned with that. They're concerned with what they're putting on and what they're eating and a lot of other stuff that goes with it. That's where they're thinking. And they despise God. They don't think about that. It is. Life is about that stuff for them. What this verse says, if you said, well, isn't the life more than food and clothing? Some people might go, well, yeah, it's about relationships or whatever. But they're acting like, no, this is the most important thing. They're not looking at the Lord. They're despising the Lord. It's exactly what we're talking about. So he's saying, why do you go and worry about this stuff? Why does it hold you so much? Why does the accumulation of certain things hold you? I mean, like we said in the offering, most of us, we have more food than we need. We're not just barely getting by. We probably all threw away food in the last few days. I doubt there's anybody in here that threw away zero. I mean, yeah, maybe you cleared your plate, fine. But there's over time, let's say the last few weeks, months, you let something expire. You know, you didn't use it up. Certainly almost every person in here is in that camp. You don't use everything. If you don't, well, great. But you're not looking for your next meal. You know, you go to the grocery store or wherever you go or eat out. You know you have the ability to get your next meal. So you're not just barely getting by there. And your body more than clothing, well, hopefully, I mean, you know, that you think about your body as more than just somewhere to hang your shirt and your pants and your hat on your head. But the world is so caught up with these things that they don't look and talk about who's inside you or where you're going. I mean, they may talk about it, but they don't really focus on it. They despise it. Verse 28, it says, so why do you worry about clothing? Why do you? I'm not saying we shouldn't look good. I believe in looking good. I believe, you know, if your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, shouldn't you make it look good? Do you realize you reflect the Lord if you're a Christian? That's why I disagree with people that go to an extreme. I don't even say an extreme. This has been knocked down a lot in our society as far as, it doesn't matter how you look. Everything's super casual. Now, I think you can go to extreme and people can care too much about dress. But reverencing things in the society, that's not a bad thing. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you went to a funeral and everybody was in jeans and a t-shirt? Seriously. What if you showed up in jeans and a t-shirt? What would the people that lost the loved one, what would they think?
They'd be hurt.
Would they be hurt? Why? Because you're there. You showed up. Your heart's there. Why? It is disrespectful. Why is that so important? The person isn't even there. You're honoring the people that are there. You know, funerals are for us. They're not for the dead person. Because they're not there. They're not. They're gone. And if they're a Christian, they're like, they're partying. They don't want to come back. They're looking at you poor fools down there, and they're like, I'm glad I'm done with that. And if you tried to get them back, they don't necessarily want to get back. So when you lose somebody and they're a Christian, you don't need to be sad about it. I know people go, oh yeah, yes, you're going to walk through emotions, but it'll help you to walk through the emotions when you realize you're going to see them in just a few years. You're going to see them just a little bit. You're going to see those people. They're alive, they're well, they're having a good time. You don't have to feel sorry for them. You're feeling sorry for you. Now, I realize we go through emotions, not negating it, but will help us with our emotions if we look at it right and say, you know, you're out of the country for a little bit. I'm going to see you in a little bit. This is not goodbye. I'm going to go on with the work I have for the Lord, and I'm going to catch up with you in a few years. How much better does that buoys up your spirit, right? That makes you excited. But if somebody did show up, jeans and t-shirt, that wouldn't go over well. What if the President of the United States is visiting in a formal setting and you show up and you're going to meet the President of the United States and he's got his suit on and his Secret Service guards and you come out and you're in shorts and a t-shirt and saying, hey, I'm here. How would that go over? How would it go over? People would think you were a fool. If you showed up, let's say you're invited to the White House, and there were, for some reason, you're on the invite list, and there are heads of state that are showing up and coming there, and you're going to come in for the ballroom, and you show up. Let me ask you a question. And you show up with a tank top on, and flip-flops, and a hat. What would they look at you like? Huh? Where did this dude come from? I don't think they probably, you know, I'd be surprised if they let you in, even if you were on the invite list. Why? You bring the whole thing down. Why is that? Why is that important? Yet the things of God now don't get my face about this, but I'm making a point here. Why is it that we respect that, but then with God, it's become, well, God knows our heart, it doesn't matter. Don't you think, what if you said that with the President of the United States? Well, you know my heart, I mean, I wanted to be here. What if you said that to your friends where you came to the funeral? I'm sorry, I was in a rush, I just got up, I'm sorry, I'm just here. Now, I'm not saying they would be mad at you, but would you not look at somebody and go, it would show, it would make you feel like you don't really respect my dad. You don't respect my brother or whoever went on, right? You could not make enough time in your schedule to change your clothes and put a suit on. Well, something else was more important than my loved one going home. Is this not true? So people go, I mean, and I know where we are, and so people are going. There's a balance for things. You don't go over and say, you have to wear a suit all the time either. President of the United States doesn't wear a suit all the time either. But there are things that are precious and things that we still honor. But church and the things of God has gone down to where people, it doesn't matter. God knows my heart. I'm coming. He just loves me just as I am. Yeah, he does. But he is the Almighty. He's above anybody we just talked about. Your loved one, the President of the United States, anyone. It is not legality, it is honor. People confuse the two. I am not showing up because I have to dress up for you and I have to just it's a form of honor that I respect the people that are present. I respect the fact that this person has had a loss. I respect the fact that this person is the head of our government, and I'm showing honor by looking my best. Why is that wrong? The people have confused it, and we've made everything about this. Well, God loves you anyway. He knows your heart. Fine. He knows your heart. He's the creator of the universe. He paid a high price. Why is it wrong? Or some people have gone so far to say, well, you just don't understand that you don't have to do that anymore. That has nothing to do with it. Have to. I dress up when I go out on a date with my wife when it's a special ceremony. I was in a tux for my wedding day. Well, I just don't understand that, you know, if she really loved me, I wouldn't have to do that. That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. You dress up because you're honoring something. Not because that person doesn't love you. I still do it today. If we want to get dressed up and go somewhere, it doesn't have to do, it doesn't mean she's going to not love me. She knows me better than anyone does. And I know her. Amen? Don't know why I'm getting off on all this, but it is a symptom. Church, what we have to realize is that there are things in this society that has crept into the body of Christ. It is a lack of honor and respect, and people wonder why they don't see certain things in their lives. And they tie it with legalism. Well, you're just doing that because you don't understand what Jesus has done. No, I'm not doing it because I don't understand what Jesus has done. I understand what Jesus has done, and I hold him in high regard. There is no law concerning it. But just because somebody does show honor in that way doesn't mean they're wrong either. Amen? You can be legalistic with anything. And the funny thing is, people get legalistic the opposite way. If you do dress up, you're not spiritual because you don't understand something. Do you hear me? Well, you must not understand the position you have because you dress up. What is that? Maybe somebody likes to dress up, maybe somebody doesn't. Each person should be convinced in their own heart because, frankly, the Bible doesn't tell you. But my point is there are things that we honor as human beings, and God should be we should be able to honor him just as much. How did we get off into that? What should we wear? You should not be overly concerned about it. Why do you worry about clothing? But on the other hand, if you have clothing, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to know that we reflect the Lord. When we walk around people, you know, whatever type of clothes you're going to wear, it ought to be done well. You know, if you're going to wear shorts and a t-shirt, you're going to the beach. You know, beach is a bad example because everybody gets dirty anyway. But if you're going to go out somewhere, I remember, I think it was Joel Osteen I heard say something. He was getting out and going. He just had worked out, and he was all sweaty and stuff, and he was going to go down and run to the grocery store. And the Lord checked him and said, people know who you are, and you're not reflecting well on me. It doesn't have anything to do with if God loves him or not, but you're just running around, and, you know, who knows, he's got pit stains or whatever from working out and everything, and he's just going, well, that doesn't look good. So if you're going to do it well. Doesn't the Bible say whatever you do, you know, do it as unto the Lord? Amen. Therefore, verse 28, do not worry about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. These thoughts go hand in hand. Verse 24 and verse 33, that no one can serve two masters, but then seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can't serve two. So what are you going to serve? You need to serve God. You put him first. Let's look down in 6:24 in the New Living Translation, the next one on your scripture sheet. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things. saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give everything you need. He will give you everything you need. Thank God. Praise you, Lord. Let's look at Luke 16 here. We'll just stay on your sheet. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We'll read this in the New Living Translation in a minute. It says, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Look at this in the New Living Translation. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Now let's stop right there. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. You know what we were talking about during the announcements? About honoring, you know, those that you're around, that you're hooked up with, leaders. People, so often, they don't think this principle is true. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. That part, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. You know, if you're faithful with what you have now, doing what you're supposed to do now, you will be promoted. You will go up with God. But so many times people look and they look at somebody that, especially leaders, people over you, just sew it up in your mind that there will always be a challenge to follow someone else. Whether it's your boss, ladies, if it's your husband, whether it's your pastor, whether it's another organization you've been hooked up with, your flesh does not want to follow somebody. You know where this comes from? Satan did not want to follow God. Now we're talking about serving somebody, right? We haven't digressed here. We're talking about making a choice about who you serve. Yourself, the natural you, does not want to serve, or you know what serve, to help. You know what ministry means? It means to serve. You know what ministry, a minister, you know what that is? That's a servant. That's what that means. And Jesus, he served the people. He said, he who is least, or he who wants to be greatest among you, he should be servant of all. But let me tell you something. Just sew it up in your mind that you, your flesh, you're going to have to put your flesh down and have to put thoughts down about when you're following someone else, another man. You should be following another man as he's following the Lord. Isn't that what Paul said? You follow me as I follow Jesus. That's the way it is. But, you know, people today, they want to be unto themselves. Yeah. I don't want to submit or follow anybody. I can hear from God just as well as you can. Right? Come on, is this true or not? Yeah. Have you guys been around this enough to know that this is where a lot of Christians are? Yeah. And if you can't serve or follow a man, I'm not talking about serve as in, you know, slave. That's not, because then Jesus was not He did become a bondservant, though. And really, we are supposed to lay down our lives for his cause and for those around us, for the people that, when I say those around us, just not unbelievers, but for whatever you're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God, you do lay down your life for them. And a true servant of God, a true leader, is doing that. But your flesh does not want to follow somebody. And you will have help to try to get out of your place hooked up with somebody. The devil will put his finger on what is wrong, what you see as wrong with the person that you're supposed to be following. He'll feed it to you and say, well, they should be doing this. They should be doing that. Why aren't they doing this? Whether it's your boss, whether it's your husband, ladies, the husband is supposed to be the head of the home. That means he has ultimate responsibility for the direction of that family. Doesn't mean your wife is not equal. The Bible clearly talks about that the husband is supposed to take the lead. Somebody has to break the tie. Anybody ever lived or worked in corporate America? There are not 15 people in charge. At some point, there may be a board, but there is somebody that's a CEO that's responsible and that could be fired by the board if they don't do what they need to do. Why isn't it? Why don't you just have 20 of them? We'll just all take a vote. Doesn't work that way. Somebody has to take charge and say, in a tough decision, we're going to do this. And a smart leader is not going to just do it as a dictator. He's going to get people to follow him. That's why he's a leader. He gets people. He works with people. He realizes how people operate. And so he's going to get support. But ultimately, he's going to make a decision and say, this is where we're going. And then the people under him have a decision to make to follow him. And that's the way it is in marriage as well. Yeah, you'd be a fool to go, wife, this is what we're going to do because I'm the head. The Bible says it. Good luck with that.
Especially today.
Yeah. And there's a problem today because people do not want to hear this whatsoever. Yet people's lives and marriages are a wreck, but we're not going to do it God's way, right? We could go off on that for the next hour. But it's true. It's again despising God. It's saying, well, that doesn't work and your way's working better. But no, we're going to have a challenge if we're going to follow somebody. And everybody in here is following somebody. You, if you're hooked up with the Lord, you are part, number one, you're in this church. And I am tasked with being the pastor of this church and leading this church. I am going, you know, to a regional retreat next week. Guess what? There's somebody over me, and there's somebody over him, and there's somebody over him. Does that mean they just, you know, like a dictator, just tell you what to do? No, if they're a good leader, they are actually serving you. They have a responsibility before God Almighty to lead you the way Jesus would. But for every one of us, there is going to be a challenge to stay in our place and stay under someone. That doesn't mean you're second rate. That doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. It means you, to submit means to rank under, to put under. That means you should, submit is a voluntary thing. In other words, you cannot force somebody to submit. Did you know it?
Yes.
Submission is you are putting, I am going to put myself under. I am going to do, why? Because I'm honoring, ultimately for the Christian, you ought to be working where you're supposed to work, where God would want you to work. You ought to be going to church where you're supposed to work. If you're supposed to go into ministry, you ought to be with the right Bible school getting trained. If you're in a job, you ought to be under the right person. You ought to marry the right person. So if you believe you were supposed to be married to this person, then you ought to do what God said. And if wives, you're not going to go there, but we're coming back to it. You ought to submit, not because he's forcing you to, but out of reference for the Lord. You guys know as well as I do, if you've ever worked a job, people will tend to get together and talk about the boss. And he does not know what he's doing. And he should do this better. And he should do this. That's kind of funny. When you think about it. I remember a person that I know, that I work with, was mentioning just a story about this person that was related to them and how he worked for this, you know, it was this certain profession for years, and he never wanted to be the manager. He was like, he liked too much being one of the guys, and he knew how they all talked about the guys that were the bosses. He's like, I don't ever want to do that. And he drug his heels long enough, but he got old enough, and at some point people expect you to step up. And there were enough people that have gone on, it's like his turn, and so finally he did. And he didn't really like it. But there is going to be that challenge. And don't think that it's because if you find the perfect person, then it'll all be good. That doesn't exist.
That's right.
What you have to know is, am I supposed to be here? Wherever it is. Did God tell me to be in this organization? I have a choice then. Am I going to put myself, rank myself under and say, I'm gonna follow you because I'm following the Lord? I understand you're not perfect. I'm talking about in anywhere in life. Your flesh will want to get out of that. That's not a bad confession. Your flesh does not want to rank under. Your flesh wants to reign supreme. In other words, whatever I want, when I want it, that's what I'm going to have. Has anybody found that you have to put your flesh under?
Absolutely.
Your flesh does not want to submit to somebody. This is not a dirty word either. It's not a dirty word. Submit is not. I know it is in this society, but guys, do we want to be like society is where it is now? Look at how many other things that you would not agree with whatsoever, and then but everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's doing a lot of stuff, so we have to ask ourselves, what's the truth? Do we want the truth? Do we want to live according to the truth, or do we want something that sounds like, well, everybody's doing it, so it must be right? No. The Bible, we're talking about serving the Lord. And part of serving the Lord is going to be, you're going to have to decide who you're serving. If it's the Lord, then what did he ask me to do?
Right.
Who did he hook me up with?
Mm-hmm.
If he hooked you up with your spouse, I don't care where or when you, what, how it happened, he or she is the right one now. If you're married, that's it. You ought to just say, according to the word, if you're both believers, I'm supposed to be hooked up because I'm already married. I don't have a way out. You don't. According to the word, you don't. Your flesh does not want to hear that. Who are you supposed to be hooked up with? See, people look at men, and it is so easy to get your eyes focused on men. Like I said earlier, I'm saying this on purpose this way for effect, any moron. You go down anywhere in the city, anywhere in the world, and see if somebody can talk bad about another person. Every person can find something wrong with another person, period. You can just start on the outside. No one is perfect physically. You can start poking fun, you know, saying, well, you have this out of line and this out of line. Yeah, your face isn't symmetrical. Just look at it sometime. You know, it's not everything perfect. And then you go on from there. If you know any, you don't even have to know them very long. You say, yeah, they're this and this and this and this. And if you know any person for any length of time, you can rip them to shreds in no time. If you're married to somebody or live with them, a spouse, yeah, anybody can rip another person that they live with apart. Anybody. Any given day. You can tear them a new hole on their side any time. It takes no intelligence whatsoever to do that. It doesn't mean you're discerning. Doesn't mean you're smart. Just means you're next to somebody and you're observing. Is that not true?
Yeah.
We're all flawed. So somebody says, I'm being really discerning. I'm just going to pick all the bad things about you. No, you're proving that you're doing something that takes absolutely no ability whatsoever. It takes so much more strength to submit to God and say, your word says not to do this, so I'm going to shut up. That is a strong person. That is a strong lady, strong man. Go and run the mouth at work about your boss takes absolutely no strength whatsoever. Why? Because everybody does it. To stand up and say, I'm not going to do that. If this is the job God has given me, I'm going to respect the person that I'm working for. I'm going to support them. I'm going to do. They aren't perfect. They're flawed. But I'm going to do the best job I know to do. I'm going to be the best employee in this place. As long as God has me here, I'm here. I'm faithful. You can count on me. Doesn't everybody want? Now, if you're a manager, everybody wants that type of person. And you want that type of person. Let me ask you something. When you go into a store, do you like the people that don't have any customer service that blow you off, or the person that shows up and is there for you and helps you? Which one do you like? Oh, of course, we all want that, but then we'll go and we'll talk about everybody else, because nobody wants somebody to go and talk about them. Do you?
No.
Do you like people when they talk about you?
No.
Then why do we talk about other people? Why don't we do that? Because we have help. And the devil is so crafty. He'll come and tell you, oh, you can see something nobody else can see. They have this flaw. Really? Yeah, you're discerning. You can see this. He's a liar. This coming from the person that decided it was a good idea to take on the Almighty. And he convinced other people. He's got some salesmanship there. Hey, guys, we're going to take God out. You want to come with me? You in? And he sells it somehow. They believed him. So don't think that you're just way above, you'd never be sold on something. No, he does it all the time. Get you to try to think you're smarter than everybody and try to tell you you know more. Just be that should be a flag. Uh-oh. Attack. Your flag should be going off that there's an intruder. There's an attack happening. Somebody is trying to get me off. Because you know what? God, the devil will always try to sever your connection with the people you're supposed to be hooked up with. And if you get your eyes on men, you will be like this. You think they're good, so you'll be up. When you think they ticked you off, you'll be down. You'll be, oh, wait, I might forgave them, so I'm up. Wait, no, they're not good anymore, so I'm down. Let me ask you something. Is this what God looks like, up and down?
No.
No, he doesn't. You know what God looks like? Rock. The Bible says he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he asks us to do something, we ought to say, sir, yes, sir, I'm here. And I'll be here as long as you want me to. This is where you want me, I'm here. And those are the people you want me to be with, fine, I'm here. I'm good. And if we'll get our eyes on God, you'll find you don't have a problem with men so much. You keep your eye on men, yes, you're going to be all over the place. You get your eye on God and deal with him and say, I haven't been in the military. I have some people that have been in the military. But have my orders changed? Did God change your orders? If he didn't change your orders, then what do you do talking about maybe changing them? It is a very bad thing for you to change them. You are out. If you get the enemy to try to convince you to go do something, change jobs, it could wreak havoc on your family. Well, I just don't like it. So? Well, I don't like it. I don't like my boss. So? Well, I want a Christian boss. Maybe you don't. Because you know what? He's a person, she's a person too. And if you go looking for that, you know what? You'll find something wrong with them too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to go such and such. I had some, I don't even say it. I'm not going to even go there. You have to know where you're supposed to be. I'm talking church. I'm talking your marriage. I'm talking your relationships. I'm talking about any organization you're hooked up with. You have to know God put you there. You have to realize you're dealing with human beings. You have to deal with it. And we have to grow up and realize, yes, people aren't perfect, but God has placed me here, and I am mature and strong enough to deal with it and stay. I'm secure, strong, stable, and I'm not one of the weak ones that every time something comes up, I start blabbing and complaining about it. It is so easy to complain. No type of willpower whatsoever to complain. You just go with the flow and boom, you have it. So easy. What does this have to do with serving God? We have to choose to serve Him and to put Him first. And guess what? Part of serving Him is going to be hooking up with people. Did you hear me? I know we kind of wish we could just go off and be by ourselves and just have nobody else, and we just God and me, and we'll commune, and He'd dump all the revelation on us, and we just have no flesh to deal with. It ain't so. Not going to be so. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but it's not going to be like this, because we're going to see other people. But we're not going to have all this flesh and this curse to deal with, so it's going to be different.
Yeah.
We're all walking in love. But we're not there yet, so we're here. We can keep it in our minds and in the background saying, you know, we're going somewhere, but while we're in the war, while we're in the battle, while we're here, there are some rules. There are some things going on, and I'm not dumb enough to get picked off by these things, by stuff that I should know better. The Bible says not to complain and not to find fault for a reason. It's right here in the beginner's guide to the manual. And I'm not one, for one. We ought to have this attitude. I'm not stupid enough to give into that tactic. You're going to have to try harder than that, devil. Because we're talking about, people may think this is disconnected in general, but that's part of the problem. We need to know that if we're going to, people say, I serve God. I don't serve anything else. But they won't submit to anybody. Nobody.
Yep.
You're not serving God then. They're serving themselves.
Yep.
And they despise what? It says if you're going to serve something, you're going to despise something else. So they despise anybody that's actually, you know, in a position or doing something. Well, I'm smarter than my boss at work. Not everybody can be smart. Why is it that all the people that aren't the bosses are the smartest people and all the people at the top are stupid? But the people at the top used to be at the bottom, but somehow that doesn't make any sense. And it's a lie. Now, I'm not saying the people that are your boss are always perfect. We got done saying that. But they're not idiots either. It is so much easier to think everybody else is an idiot. But you don't go anywhere that way. Everybody else is stupid but me. Go say that out loud sometime and see how that goes over. People look at you and go, you have a problem. You are fooled, right? We may not say it like that, but the devil will try to get you to think like that. And if you actually said some of the things we think out loud sometimes, we realize how stupid they are. Amen? And this is the same everywhere, guys. You have to know, is the devil's favorite tactic is, well, if you just got over here. The Bible, the world calls it the grass is greener. And it's true. But where did that come from? This unsettledness. The enemy. He'll always tell you, oh, if you had a different spouse. Oh, if you had, a different boss, it would be better. Yeah, for a little bit. That's called a honeymoon. And then you actually see the person for what they are, and then, oh, wait, they're not actually better. You don't want to find that out. You don't want to jump and go find something out. And then realize you messed up. It's just better to go by the word and just decide you're going to do what the word says and you're going to stay and be where God wants you to be. Stay hooked up because there is blessing in that. And God will honor you as you honor Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to serve Him. Amen. We're just laying a foundation. We got to know that serving Him is not some la-la out there term. Well, I'm just serving God, but I won't actually hook up with real things. That it is about real life, hooking up and doing what the Word says. Amen.